Welcome. I'm Victoria Schneps, and we have a power person with us today that's probably one of the most outstanding public service people who works for government, but I consider you, Rick, a public servant, Rick Cotton, who is the executive director of the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, which really covers the largest port on the East Coast and the second largest ports in the United States. And then he has the little job called overseeing the JFK, LaGuardia, Newark airports. Then he has the responsibility of all the bridges and tunnels, and then the seaport and the PATH line and the World Trade Center 16 acres. Oh, my God. And he's still talking to us. Thank you, Rick Cotton. Welcome.
Vicki, it's nice to be with you. Appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you, Rick. You know, I know we all start somewhere, and, you know, you've got a glorious education going to Harvard and then to Yale Law School, and then a great career. First, working for NBC Universal as an attorney, using your skills there and having worked for Supreme Court Justice. And now here, for how many years are you here at the port?
I've been at the Port Authority for nearly 7 years.
7 years. So they're blessed to have your great knowledge and great experience and expertise. But, you know, we all have to start somewhere. Where did you grow up? Was there somebody who influenced you as a child to become who you are today?
Well, I grew up on the south side of Chicago. I went to public school, primary school and high school. And then I went away for college and law school to the East Coast, as you mentioned. And it was, for me, I guess, to the extent I think back on it, I have to confess, I was the valedictorian of my high school class. And it was the year that President Kennedy was elected. And I took as my text for the valedictorian speech, his line of think not what your country can do for you, but think what you can do for your country. I was a very public service oriented framework. I have to say both my parents were very oriented toward public issues and to giving back. And I think as I look back on my childhood, it was very much influenced by that public service framework and that sense of getting things done.
Did your career happen serendipitously? Because, you did go to Yale Law School. And so, you know, I'm sure when you're thinking of clerking, what brought you to the court to be a clerk for Supreme Court Justice?
After law school, if you do well in law school, one of the next steps as a building a career is to clerk for a judge or even two. And that's part of your legal training. And that's what I did. It's very, very insightful and helpful to see how judges, real world judges, approach cases, deal with cases, hear how and why they came to particular conclusions. And it was I clerked for 2 years. One year on the Court of Appeals and one on the Supreme Court. And it was very formative in terms of, again, both the public service orientation, but also as a young lawyer to see from the inside how the court system functions.
Do you think it's more politicized now? I mean, you know, we always felt the halls of justice were equal with the scales, right? And now it seems very political. Is that true, or is it just my perception?
Well, I would have to say I think it is true. I think I would broaden that, however, to say I worked right after my clerkships. I actually had a series for 10 years of public interest jobs before I practiced law for a while and then private law and then went to NBC. Almost 4 years, I was in the federal government during the President Carter years. And what I would say is in terms of the way government functioned then, The conversations you would have in terms of decisions or back and forth was what is the best policy? And there could be arguments over that. And then separate from that, you would have a conference. Well, let's talk about a conversation about what are the politics?
Mm-hmm.
But they were at least co-equal. And the discussion about policy, I would actually say, sort of took a front seat. And then when you talked about politics, there were different political influences on people on different sides of the issues. You simply had to take those into account. And you wound up trying to come to the best possible result. I just think what's happened in today's society is that politics simply, and partisan politics simply dominate the conversation. And in mm-hmm. that setting, compromise, which is really the engine of democracy, suffers. And so, yes, it's very different today compared to 40 years ago, when there was just a different dynamic.
It's really remarkable how it has changed so much that, wasn't it years ago that Roosevelt tried to, stack the Supreme Court? Or, you know, there's always been efforts because there's always been a feeling, I think, about the Supreme Court's importance. And today it seems so blatant that decisions tend to be politicized.
Well, I think unfortunately it is true. It's not to say it never happened in the history of the country, but it's certainly on vivid display today in terms of politics and partisanship.
Yeah. Well, you know, I do think that when I read off the list of things you're responsible for, my son Josh, who's my partner, and I laugh sometimes that our biggest time eater is the personnel issues. And I'm trying to think how many people could be under your supervision that you have to know about and how you have to deal with all these different branches of the Port Authority. How do you find your, you know, how are you doing now with the kinds of projects and the people that you hire and keep in place?
Well, the fact is that an organization only works through its people.
Yes.
But it is the employees of the Port Authority, both the senior staff, but all the way throughout the organization that actually get things done. And so what you need to do is to be sure that there's good communication, that you're choosing good people, and that they feel that they're able to build satisfying careers and that they are working in an inclusive and supportive environment. So we really put, we call it employer of choice, but we put the welfare, our employees feeling supported personally, professionally, and that's really what it takes in order to have the organization deliver what we regard as our public responsibility, which is to build 21st century world-class facilities, to operate them at the highest standard of excellence. We put customer service very much in the forefront of our values. And above all else, we're focused on protecting the safety and security of both employees and travelers. And we put sustainability as a very high value to which we want to live up to. But all of that requires communication to the employees. How do you go about it and draw on the best, both of their ideas and of their capabilities? So without a very strong set of employees, nothing really would be possible.
Well, we all know that, you know, I believe also, and I think why you're so successful, I believe that I put great people around me, I will get greatness as a result. So I think, are you finding that as well, that you have to have, because you have different divisions where you have so many responsibilities?
Yes. Well, we have five, what we call line businesses, which is the five areas that you talked about: the airports, the bridges and tunnels, including the bus terminal, I should note, the seaport, our path train service, and the World Trade Center campus. So each of those is an operating unit, and then we have multiple staff divisions, the finance organization, the legal organization, and so on. And it's a total of 8,000 Port Authority employees. But the fact is, we work with many private partners. So if you look at the airports, there are multiple employers, and there are well over 40,000 employees of different organizations in order to operate the airports. So it's a communication effort. You have to have strong partnerships, and that's all part of the challenge.
Well, you know, we do put out the Airport Voice. We have this wonderful newspaper that is delivered to the employees at the airports. And talk about communication. I was thinking to myself, wait a second, I think you should have a column every month in that paper to tell what's the latest, you know, keep, because I find in my own company, you know, we have so many media outlets. Some of them don't know what we're doing in the other places that we're doing things that, you know, do you have internal newspapers or media?
The Airport Voice is almost the internal newspaper. You do a wonderful job of covering developments at the airports. We have numerous internal publications and we really try to put out information in multiple different ways to the employees of the Port Authority. I think that communication is a critical aspect in order to enable people to deliver services well and to help move the organization forward. So, and the Airport Voice is a very significant part of that communication.
Well, thank you. You know, can I, just between you and I, do you have a favorite project for 24?
I love all my children. I actually think we have a remarkable number of projects that we're trying to move forward. That's actually been part of what I've tried to communicate to the organization, which is people need visibly to see government deliver services, deliver them well, deliver them with speed. Frequently, the perception is that government never gets anything done. A government construction project will just go on and on forever, and what's produced isn't up to snuff. So we've tried to say, if you look at our airports, LaGuardia and New Terminal A at Newark are, I think, stunning examples of what airports should be. They've been recognized widely as world-class. We intend to do, JFK now has more than $15 billion worth of construction going on. We want to go beyond Terminal A at Newark. So we have a very aggressive agenda there. We want to move forward on a new bus terminal, which is the current bus.
42nd Street, the one on 42nd Street?
42nd Street. We want to completely.
What do you think there? I didn't know about that.
Well, we're later this week, there'll be an environmental draft environmental impact statement published, and we're going to push that forward as hard as we can. We've talked about a little bit the seaport, which is now the second busiest in the country. It used to be, if you looked at it nationally, it in third place, but as coming out of the pandemic, it's really strengthened and moved up from third to second. It's still the busiest on the East Coast. The World Trade Center campus just completed the Performing Arts Center, a really extraordinary marvel. And the last year, the Greek Church completed. So that 16-acre campus has really become an extraordinary positive influence on Lower Manhattan. Very proud of that. So the goal here has been to move each of our sets of facilities up the curve. Our standards are very high for those who have used the new LaGuardia Airport terminals or Terminal A at Newark. Hopefully that's right there before their eyes. Both of those projects have won international recognition in terms of quality. So I can't say that I choose favorites, but I think that what they share is this aspiration for a world-class, best-in-class, 21st century high technology standards.
Well, I think, you know, you said it all. I've traveled all over the world, and I always tell everyone there is no greater city in the world than New York. And that's happening with projects like yours, because when we enter, it's called First Impressions.
Yes.
And that's really what, you know, you have achieved, and they're all world-class changes that have happened in our airports. And I think, you know, I'm going to give you the credit because, you know, under your leadership, this has all been happening. And I know that, you know, success is not easy always, and it takes a lot out of somebody to be successful. But if I was to ask you to share with my listeners, what are some of the things that you would suggest to somebody who wants to be successful? What does it take?
Well, I don't think that there's a magic formula. I do think you need to set high standards, whether that's for yourself or what it is that you're working on. Hard work, that certainly is the environment I grew up in. I think recognizing the importance of, you'd call it employees, but of colleagues, and that you need to draw on their strengths, they need to draw on your strengths, there needs to be a collegiality, you need to avoid wasting energy on negative, I'll call them negative impulses. The point is to, in fact, what I would say to, from my own experience, I used to give this advice to young lawyers who I would interview who wanted to come to work in the NBC legal department. If you want to go to work in a big organization, you need to take careful stock of yourself. Working in a big organization either drives you crazy, because there are so many other influences and so many people you have to work with, or it energizes you. So I think one of the other aspects of success is to decide what kind of working environment, artistic environment, creative environment, what kind of an environment is going to bring out the best in you. I think the point is not to fight what your internal strengths are, but rather to play to them. So it takes that sense of working with other people, of building on the energy of others that makes you successful in a big organization. There are other talents and other environments other than big organizations where people obviously thrive. That's sometimes particularly true in terms of creative efforts. But I think that would be my advice. Take stock of you. First of all, hard work, attention to detail, high standards, and take stock of the environment, and many times the networking and working with others is really central to success.
Well, you know, you said something, you're so profoundly wise, and you said something earlier, know how to compromise.
Secret of legislative and political success.
Right. Well, I just am so delighted to have had this opportunity to chat with Rick Cotton. You know, the powerful, successful, very well-respected executive director of the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey. Thank you so much, Rick, for being with me.
Thank you, Vicki. It's been a great conversation.
Thank you. This is Victoria Schnepp signing off until next time. Thank you for being with us.